Going to look at tonight. Now, this lady right here, Leah, she struggled with it, and we are going to learn from her because we can relate with her. That's for sure. One of the memory verses we're going to look at that we did last week, also one of the main verses we'll look at as a reminder throughout this week of helping us overcome insecurity. You can mark it now. We'll look at it later, but it's going to be Psalm 139:17. Psalm 139:17, which says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them." All of us struggle at times with insecurity and feel the pressures and anxiety that it induces. Insecurity, mark this down, always, and I mean always, there's no exceptions. Insecurity always affects us negatively. Always. It affects us negatively, but we can find freedom in embracing the truth of God's love for and acceptance of us. In this lesson, we will learn how to effectively fight against a spirit of insecurity and live in the liberty of Christ's love. Now, imagine walking in to work tomorrow, and you first person you see is the boss. And as soon as you walk in, the boss looks at you, and it's not a very friendly look, and it says, "I need to see you in my office in 5 minutes." Well, the first thought that comes to your mind is probably, now it could be, I don't know, but it's probably not, "Wow, I'm getting ready to get a raise." It's probably not you're thinking that, "Oh, my boss must be getting ready to tell me how good of a job I've been doing." You know what floods in at that point with many of us is thoughts of insecurity. You become insecure because you don't know what's going on. You know, you could give it another context is this. You go to the doctor's office. Everything seems to be fine to start off with, but you sit there with a doctor and he starts talking with you, and then he starts listening to your heartbeat, and he listens to it a little longer than he usually does. And then he stops and says, "You know, I think we're going to have some further testing. I think we need to go ahead and schedule a stress test and an EKG. At that point in your mind, you're not thinking, "Wow, he must just be really impressed on how well my heart is doing." No. Thoughts of insecurity will come about. What's wrong with me? What's going to happen? What's going on? And that is an emotion that we all can struggle with when it's not conquered by the Spirit of God. And that's what we will look at through the life of Leah. She started off in this context with of course Jacob. And of course her daddy, Laban, and then her sister, Rachel. As we noticed here in the Word of God is that she, it appears that her daddy did not think much of her. From what we see, and the way he handled that and giving her to Jacob and being deceived. And by the way, Jacob's deception came back on him. It always does, but that's not the lesson tonight. But because of his deception, he's going to also reap what he had sown. But in this case, he was deceived because Laban gave forth Leah when Jacob thought that he was getting Rachel to be his wife. But you think about that. She had already sensed that Jacob really didn't like her. Jacob, of course, the Bible refers to Leah as being tender-eyed. There's different views on that, but one thing's for sure is that Rachel was prettier, had a more attractive physical appearance than Rachel. And it also gives the idea that she probably had some sort of deformity with her eyes. Could have been that she was not able to see as well. Something of that nature. But something that anytime and those things that we do have in our lives, if we don't handle them correctly, we can live with a sense of insecurity. And then it governs our life. And it governed her. And we're going to see how God's going to work in her life and help her in this. But she got it from both sides. She knew that Rachel, the way Rachel's going to treat her, the way Jacob looked at her, and the way her daddy looked at her. And we're going to see that she was truly a human that struggled with this. Number one, I want us to see the foundations of insecurity. That's your point number one there. And we had some extra pens if you needed one. But the first point there is the foundations of insecurity. There is a foundation there, and letter A is the first one that is the foundations of insecurity is fear. It truly is fear. It is a root problem. Insecurity, mark it down, is always motivated by fear. And it captivates us if we're not careful. And get what this is. I like what the author said here. He said insecurity is motivated by a fear of losing something we love. It's the fear of losing something we love. When we struggle with insecurity, we judge ourselves by what we do instead of what we are. That's very important. We judge ourselves by what we do instead of what we are. And we have to understand as a foundational thing that, number one, we are accepted in the Beloved. The Lord God Almighty, when He looks at us, He looks at us as totally and 100% accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ as believers. But even with that being truth, and we'll see that more here in just a moment, we see that we are precious to the Heavenly Father. God's love is unconditional. And it is unfathomably great. And it is based on who we are. And you know who I am tonight? I know the weaknesses I have. I know the shortcomings I have. But I know with all my heart I'm a child of God. And friends, that's something that will help you overcome the fear that brings about insecurity, is knowing, number one, you are the Lord God. Zephaniah, as you notice there in your text. That verse, it says, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He shall save thee. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That's the Creator. The way he looks at his children is with an everlasting love. And as a Christian, no matter what you do or how far you wander, he completely accepts you as his child. Yes, there are consequences for sin. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the foundational truth that I am accepted of God Almighty through Jesus Christ. And that will help me and help you overcome insecurities in our lives. It's not performance-based. And Leah is going to learn that. She thought, and we're going to see that, she thought that she could win Jacob's love through performance. If she could just give him the right amount of children and whatnot, we're going to see that, and it controlled her. Now, Jacob clearly loved Rachel more than Leah. And because of that, the insecurity started creeping in. And she was facing the fear of abandonment. And she learned that it's impossible to find peace in the source of our security when it's temporary. And we see Leah bore her first son, and she named him what? Reuben. Which in the essence, see, I have a son. And we're going to see how that is going to build upon itself. It's like, okay, I have a son now, Jacob. Are you going to love me now? Are you going to really like me now? She thought that having children would make Jacob notice her. Not because of who she was as a person, but because she could give him the sons he wanted. And that just wasn't going to work. And we see letter B, that the other foundation of insecurity is not only fear, but it's the pressure to perform. It's the pressure to perform. And maybe you even feel like you're sinking into depression under the strain to prove your worth. Can I just encourage you tonight, child of God? You don't need to prove your worth. You are worth all that you could ever imagine to the Lord God Almighty. Why? Because your worth is found in Christ. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. And you have nothing to perform to get God to love you more. God's love for you will never increase. It will never decrease. It's everlasting. It's infinite. It's limitless. It's abounding. And it's awesome. Can you say amen right there? Yes, that is our God, and that will help us overcome insecurities. But it's that pressure to perform. And Leah certainly understood this pressure to perform. And we see that because of she was desperately trying to perform for Jacob's affection, and she was trapped. And there are times where we feel that way. And Satan knows that if he can lay the foundation of insecurity in our lives, he has the upper hand. He has the upper hand when he can convince us of this. But we can choose to reject this thought of trying to perform in our lives for God or for anybody else. We ought to be who God's called us to be, and let us grow in grace. But letter C is comparison. That would be the third foundation there in your notes. This is very dangerous, brethren. Let's never compare ourselves with anybody. That is a trap of Satan. Leah's insecurity was rooted in her father Laban's rejection. Her daddy did not receive her. He gave her over in that way of deception. And we don't know all the reasons why. But he did, and we're going to see that in chapter 29, verses 23 and 25. There, it's in the Word of God. There, it's even in your notes. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went unto her. And it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore, when hast thou beguiled me? Now again, it wasn't right what Laban did, and I'm not saying that, but you got to understand it happened, and Leah, who went through with it, we don't know if there was any resistance to her daddy. The Word of God is not clear there, but she did. She followed through with the plan, but she saw Jacob's response. It's like, what have you given me? And you can only imagine that crushed her heart, because even though she went in, what have you given me? What is this? This is not what I asked for. Well, yeah, he's reaping what he sowed again too. And some people say they're critical of how can that ever happen? Well, listen, in the Middle East, in this culture, the veil was kept on the lady on the night of the wedding. At the consummation of the marriage, her face would have been covered. And so during this time, we see that, there was this idea of comparison, and she's going to constantly compare herself with her sister from that point forward. But God's going to do a breakthrough. God's going to give a breakthrough in her life, just like he does ours if we allow him. But then we see those verses in the New Testament where Paul exhorts us there in 2 Corinthians. It's in your outline. We need to review these often, because folks, let's just be real here. It is an human instinct to compare ourselves with others. And it's so absolutely dangerous. Whatever it might be in the physical sense, it might be in the spiritual sense, it might be in a financial sense, I don't know. But we as humans have to be super careful, and as God's people have to be careful not to let that creep in. And so eventually we're going to see how she's going to have more children. And again, it kind of goes in that idea of building, and knowing that Rachel was, Jacob's favorite wife, she began to do whatever she could to secure her position. She had a son, she had a second, a third, and a fourth, and she's trying to gain that security, which, by the way, there's no end in sight when you're trying to earn your security. No end in sight. No end in sight. When you're trying to earn your security. And that's what she does. So we see that Reuben, when she had Reuben, what does that mean? It means, behold, a son. Later, the second son is Simeon. Or it means hearing. By naming him this, she thought that the Lord has heard me. Now the Lord's gonna, now he's given me another son. Now Jacob is really gonna look at me as the favorite. No, that didn't happen. It did not happen. Eventually she bore a third son, Levi. And what does Levi mean? Levi means attachment. In essence, she thought that with each child, Jacob's heart would grow attached to her, but it never happened. And Leah learned the hard way that we never can achieve our way to security. Can I say that again? We can never achieve our way to security. It's a trap. But then fourthly, letter D, we see here the foundation of overcoming, or the foundation of insecurity is this, the possibility of loss. Listen very carefully. We become the most susceptible to insecurity when we get it from something that can be snatched from us. I'm going to say that again. We become most susceptible to insecurity when we get it from something that can be snatched or taken away from us. And so that is something Leah's going to have to understand and grow in. What do you have that can't be taken away tonight? That's what you are finding your security in. To something that just absolutely cannot, that you can't, life can't go on without this thing or whatever it might be in your life, it can become, that's what you're putting your security in. And Leah was finding her security in Jacob and performing for that, and it was so dangerous. Health can be lost, no matter how much you exercise. People say, well, you lose your health. Boy, if I just stay healthy, I'll stay happy. Well, that's not true. You can take all the vitamins you want. You can watch your diet, which is not a bad idea. You can work out, skip salt, not use butter, and eat lettuce every single day. And you know, you could be in a car accident tomorrow. And there's nothing wrong with living a healthy life. In fact, I believe it's biblical and good to strive for a healthy life, but we can't find our security in those things. You see, the unfortunate reality is that we can't permanently keep anything. Spouse, children, job, health, money, or friends. There is, however, one thing that will not fade away, and that is our relationship with God Almighty. None will take that away. It's secure, and that's exactly where I get my security. But when I get my eyes on other things, or other people, or whatever, how people view me, my performance, I'm telling you, I'm living a life of insecurity, and it's a trap. No, my security is in my relationship with Christ, and that's why Jesus dealt with that in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My doctor, who is a Christian man, Dr. Brocker, he's just a fine doctor, truly is. He almost died to cancer not very long ago. He's back and practicing again, but just got a great testimony, and I appreciate what he's done for my family already. He's the doctor of our children as well. But one thing he got, I think it was probably 2 or 3 years ago, I don't know the exact date, but Dr. Brocker, he was diagnosed with cancer, and he was one of the, he considered himself one of the healthiest persons in Georgia. He said, man, I ran, I swam, I ate right. He said, I took care of myself. He said, I never smoked in my life. And you know, 3 years ago, he got lung cancer. Sure did. About took his life. And then he thought it was moving into his throat, but they got it, did some surgery and worked through that. But that was, to me, that stood out is the very fact that, look, we can't put security in anything but God Almighty. He's the one that we get that from. We make the Lord our number one priority. Our security will be built on a foundation that cannot crumble. Number two, we see not only the foundations of insecurity, but number two, we see the consequences of insecurity. That's your point number two. The consequences of insecurity. Now, those of you that wear the bifocals and wear the glasses know that, or some of you wear contacts, I don't think it's as much as a problem, but even if you're wearing sunglasses, sometimes if you're sweating or if you're in an environment where it's foggy, it can impair your vision. The glasses can fog up or they get wet. It does impair the vision. It distorts things and it's not as clear. And you know, that is what insecurity does to the vision of a believer. It messes our vision up. We can't see things the way God intends us to see them because we get caught up in it. Sometimes as you feel like you've been trying so hard to succeed, hoping that your accomplishments will grant you the feeling of security. In fact, you feel as if a failure, if one thing fails in your life, you're tempted to have that feeling of failure. And I messed up right here. So that feeling of insecurity creeps in. But you know, that's where we have to refocus and to understand that our focus must be on Christ Himself. And we notice there, there in Romans 8:31, there in your handout, talking about the consequences of insecurity. We know that nothing can get between us and God if we keep that our focus. It says there, what shall we say to these things in Romans chapter 8, verse 31? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, He spared not His own Son. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What an encouraging portion of Scripture when it comes to the security of the believer. And we see here that under point number two, we're going to see letter A is one of the consequences is competition. The competition that you, if you live a life of insecurity, you're going to always feel like you're competing with someone. We're competing with the neighbor. I'm competing with this person. And get this. This is tough because we're going to see it even in this drama scene. You want to know when there's insecurity in the home between spouses? Mark it down. They're competing. They're competing and they're comparing. Well, I didn't say that. You said this. Well, I've been doing this all week. What have you been doing? There's a constant competing and comparing, and I want to tell you, it's a spirit of insecurity. That's what it is. And it's got to be nipped in the bud, and it's got to be dealt with through the Spirit of God controlling us and saying, no, I'm not going to have this spirit of competition. You are not my competition. You are, as a spouse, you are a team member. You are a co-laborer. And so we see that as a competition. And of course, we know through the account of Leah and Rachel, they were going back and forth. And even in Genesis chapter 30, verse 8, they're right under letter A. Look what that verse says. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. There's a spirit of competition there, but then it also consequences is relational problems. Relational problems are coming about there. And we see that insecurity affects the way we relate with each other. Now, again, remember, insecurity is caused by fear of loss. Fear of loss. Whether it be losing your reputation or what people think of you, or you fail here or fail there, you're losing a popularity, name or rank or whatever you want to call it. It's just the fear of losing something, and it can be in an object. It can be in a person. But that idea, if we can find it difficult to trust, we can find it difficult to trust anyone because we look at them as a competition. Just as Leah looked at Rachel. And it's a vicious, vicious cycle. And we don't think well of ourselves. You know, when we don't think well of ourselves, and I found this in my own life, we don't think well of others. If you don't think well of ourselves and you struggle with the insecurities, imagine that anybody else thinks well of us. And then we become suspicious of ulterior motives. We think that, what are they thinking about us right now? What is so-and-so thinking? What is so-and-so saying about this situation that I'm going through, about my life right now? And not even having the facts, we're going through that in our mind. We're suspicious of people. Listen, if you are a person who is catching yourself constantly being suspicious of what people are thinking of you, you are a person struggling with insecurity. Because that's not your security. Who cares what they think? You think they think about you. Okay? You remember, your security is in your relationship with Christ. And you're not living your life to prove anything. You're just living your life because you are who you are. You're seeking to grow in grace. No, you haven't arrived. And somebody wants to point out a failure, you do what you say to them. You're exactly right. I am a failure, but my importance and my security is not going to be found in any of those things, but God Almighty. And you see, it affects the relational problems. And it truly causes problems between in marriages. It causes problems in parenting, the way parents can make children feel. The way if everything's performance based, I love you when you're a good child. I'll be mad and angry and wrathful to you and bitter towards you when you're a bad child. You know what that does, folks? That rears a child of insecurity because they're being trained to live their life on a performance base. And we know, don't get me wrong, there's blessings in obedience. We know that. But now we're just talking about foundational things. We're talking about our acceptance in the Lord God. And so we have to understand that being insecure, it's going to be some relational problems. And then letter C, another consequence is of this, is negativity. Negativity. This is something that we can struggle with very easily. And if you're a person that finds yourself constantly being negative, I can always trace it back in my life. When I'm going through a season where I'm just being a real critical and, you know, just really sharp towards people in my judgment and towards my wife or towards my children or towards anybody in my life, you know, when I'm going through those seasons, I can trace it back, that negativity. I'm insecure. I'm being insecure about something in my life. And I'm trying to cover that up, or I'm trying to deal with it by negativity. And that's not the way to deal with it. That moodiness, it's not. Everywhere we look, to overcome this idea of negativity, everywhere we look, God has blessed us abundantly. Has He not? Look around you tonight. Look around you every day. But listen, our worldview has been clouded by insecurity. It's hard to focus on His goodness when insecurity is there. And can I tell you tonight, folks, the cure to this negativity, honestly, is praise. It's praise to Almighty God. And we're going to even see that through the life of Leah, how she overcame this negativity through her testimony of just praising God. And we're going to see that through the name of one of her sons, which is awesome how God uses that. But anyway, we see that this negativity is a consequence and something we don't want to have in our lives. Ephesians 1:3 is there in your notes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You know, that is something tonight I hope that we can do in overcoming this insecurity. Even here tonight, let's just praise God. You know, if you're insecure about something right now in your life, just pause and just start thanking God for how much He's blessed you. You'll see that insecurity just fade away. Fade away. You know what we deserve tonight, church? We deserve eternity in hell. Instead, Christ died for us so that we could go to heaven. And we know that our eternity in heaven is secure. It's not going anywhere. It's a permanent place. Glory, hallelujah. Nobody's taking my seat up there, amen? So they might take your seat in the Baptist church, I understand that. But nobody's going to take your seat in heaven. We live in freedom. We have food on our table, clothes on our backs, we have roof over our heads. But unfortunately, insecurity will twist our thoughts and it will rob us of meditating on the goodness of God in our lives. And we got to overcome that negativity. And that brings me to our third point and final point, freedom from insecurity. Freedom is point number three, freedom from insecurity. Point number A there is understand God's purpose. You see, when your mind and emotions are held in the grip of insecurity, it seems like if nothing can break it, but that's not true. God can break it. God's Word teaches us how to overcome insecurity. And number one, we need to understand God's purpose. I love this point in this study. Do you understand that God has a specific design for you? I think that's beautiful. I think that's absolutely beautiful, that God has a design just for you and just for me. It's designer original, if you will. God specifically and lovingly created you with everything you need to be successful in His eyes. Everything. He's given you everything. He's given me everything. And we see that wonderful portion of Scripture there in Psalm 139, verses 14 through 18. So we see, look at that portion of Scripture there in Psalm 139, verses 14 through 18. Listen to this praise. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. And he just continues down about the miracle of the creation that he has made in each of us. What an amazing truth. God in his infinite knowledge and wisdom knows you personally and has crafted a special purpose for your life, every single one of you. Your eye color, your personality, your talents, your history, your background. It's what God made you exactly the way he wanted you to be. You are perfectly fashioned according to the Master's design, His plan, and His purpose. You know, we need to tell our young people that often. They're living in a society today where they are bullied upon their looks, upon what they're wearing. Well, we need to constantly give that affirmation to our children that, no, you don't compare yourself to anybody. God declares you are absolutely gorgeous. You are handsome. You are beautiful. We need to let our children know that. Nothing to be prideful about. Nothing to be boasting about. But let me just give you a quick illustration here. Here, I have two objects in my hand. All right? There are some similarities about these two objects. Can somebody tell me what the similarity would be? Name of the church. All right. So we do have some similarities there. But hopefully you have one of these. But these are nice coffee cups. I heard some great reports on these from our community that they like them. They use them. They like the green inside. I do too. But this coffee cup, we had a bunch made, and they're exactly the same. They were made on an assembly line. They had the same design, same color outside, color inside. Everything is identical. Okay? On all of them. All right? And we had 500 of them. We could have ordered 10,000 of them. They all would have been identical. Listen, that is not what God did with us. God did with us more like this object right here. I like this. I cherish this gift right here. This was a gift made by Brother Greg Ward. He made it for the church. It's a plaque that can be hung up. He put this wood together, and he, of course, carved out the name here. And this was specially made. There's not another one like this that I know of on the face of this earth. Greg made this specially for us. It has its own characteristics. It has its own design, and it has its own purpose. And listen, that illustration does not compare to the fact that God has made each of us individually unique. There's no assembly line here with God's people. And I'm thankful for that. But honestly, we are different in our own ways and our weakness and strengths, and that's the way God. And listen, you were born with all the intelligence and physical ability you need to fulfill the will of God for your life. All right? And the devil will try to convince you otherwise. We must understand that the Lord has a purpose for us. And I understand you may have a weakness that you're struggling with tonight. But I want to tell you, God's going to work through that weakness. He's going to help you. He's going to give you grace. He's going to walk you through the process. But listen, don't get this idea that because you're not all perfect, that you are going to just live a life of insecurity and you're never going to arrive. You're right. You never will arrive. I never will arrive. But just simply focus on growing in grace. And let God take you just like you are and make you into who He has designed you to be. Make that your focus, friends. When we begin to feel that way, we need to remember that God has equipped each of us to accomplish His will. And we're not only special because God created us, but never forget, friend, we're special because God redeemed us. He not only created us, but in a very wonderful way, fearfully and wonderfully made, He also redeemed us. We're special because of the price He paid to redeem us, and we're special because He did that through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, when we struggle with insecurity, we need to get our minds back to Jesus Christ. That's where our security is. Because when God sees us, He sees us as special as His Son. And I want to tell you, His Son is real, real, infinitely and eternally special to the Father. He is perfect. He is perfect. And when God sees you, He sees His Son. And you are accepted in the Beloved. Yes, we are here on this earth to grow, but again, we are talking about the very fact of acceptance. That is the truth. There in your Bible, it has 1 John 3:16 there in your outline. Hereby we perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. Listen, Satan can use insecurity in our lives to where it affects everything that we do, everything that we think, and everything that we say. It gets rough. And by God's grace, we'll overcome that. Notice there in 2 Corinthians 8:9 in your outline, it is, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes, that's you and me, He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Listen, if you ever get to where you feel like trash and Satan is just stomping on you, you can meditate on that verse, that you are important enough for Jesus Christ to come down from glory and to become poor and die on a cross. You are important enough for God Almighty to do that. I would say that's important. And He did that because of His grace, because of His love. He deemed us important enough to come. You may want to write these down. It has been said, this is not original with me, but it's been said that there are three things people need to hear. Number one, you are worse than you think you are. Now you're going to think, well, that's contrary to what you've been saying. No, listen, let me finish. Number one, you are worse than you think you are. Number two, God loves you anyway. Number two, God loves you anyway. And number three, I love this. You can't fix it, but God can. You can't fix it, but God can. And that, my friends, is going to help you overcome these problems and these shortcomings that you as an imperfect human and me as an imperfect human, I can overcome because of God's love and grace. And when we sin, God doesn't stop loving us. Yes, we may forfeit some blessing because disobedience. That's an absolute no-brainer. That's clear in the Word of God. When we live in rebellion, we do forfeit blessings. But my acceptance in Him stands strong forever, for eternity. And as believers, we are accepted on the basis of what Christ has done for us, not what we have done. In Ephesians 1:6, there in your notes, is to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. I must hurry. We see, understand God's purpose. B, we need to claim God's promises. We can regain freedom from insecurity, not only when we understand His purpose, but when we claim His promises. Remember when we said that insecurity comes when we attach significance to the things of this world. The cure for the attachment is to remove our focus from temporal things and fix it that which is solid. And thank God, Brother Mike, I love it. Don't you love it when God does that? The solid rock we stand. Standing on the solid rock. And that's exactly what we got to do when we claim God's promises, because everything else is temporal. And when we put security in the temporal, it's insecurity. But when we put it in the promises of God, there is a great security that God gives Himself. Notice there in your notes the verse Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, get it, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey, listen, when you are tempted and when I am tempted to feel insecure, we got to remember that Christ will never fail us. Remember that. To think that God doesn't know where you are, remember that He has a special plan mapped out for your life. He knows your name. He knows your struggles. And He knows your future. That's our God. You see, in Romans, Paul wrote about that. We read about it earlier, and he's going to continue verses 38 through 39 in your notes. We see the bond between a believer and his Savior can never be broken. The bond, let me say that again. The bond between the believer and his Savior can never be broken. There's great security. We know that fellowship can be hindered, but the bond, the foundation, the acceptance, oh no, nothing can separate us from the love and care of God. While the way we live does determine blessings and obedience, it does not change God's love for us. We see that in the parable of the prodigal son, don't we? We don't have time to dive into that passage, but it just has the father's love and acceptance written all over it with open arms, the daddy waiting on the boy to come back. That's security. That's a picture of our God always. He never leaves us. We only leave Him, but He never leaves us. And then we see in letter C, we rest in God's provision. We rest in God's provision. Leah's going to learn this great lesson, and hopefully we do too. But we see here, the Lord doesn't just promise never to leave us. He also promises to always provide for our needs. Every person in this room tonight is representing a need. Would you say amen right there? You might say, well, preacher, it's actually about 100 needs, okay? You could think of a couple hundred, maybe a couple dozen, I don't know. But there are needs. Now, let's just say for illustration purposes, Bill Gates gives you a call tonight. I'm sure he has your number. And let's just say he gave you a call. And he's a multi-billionaire. And let's just say that he gives you a call and says, look, you know what? Brother? I don't know if he'd say brother. I don't know if he's a believer. But if he said, hey, Ethan, I just called you up to tell you tonight, but listen, you don't have to worry about working ever again. Now, I know you haven't been to EMT school and worked your tail off, but you know what? You just take it easy. He said, I'm going to pay for everything. For the rest of your life, I'm dropping a couple million in your bank account and you're taken care of. That'd be pretty nice. From some perspective, you'd be like, wow, that's pretty amazing. And he said, not only just for future living, but for luxury expenses, to buy you a home, buy you family homes. And listen, he just basically says, you don't have to worry about money again. You don't even have to worry about any needs again. Well, you just put everybody, I was just picking on Ethan, but you put your name right there. What if he called you? But listen, can I say this? As Christians, we have a God who has made a much greater promise. You know what he says? He says in the Word of God in Philippians that He will meet all our needs. And folks, sometimes we forget about that. We forget that the God of heaven has promised us that every need shall be met. Folks, I don't need Bill Gates to call me tonight. I have a God in heaven who's already told me. And He's told you. And we can understand that when we rest in God's provision, we cannot find any greater security than in the promise that God says He will supply our every need. In our world, it's easy to worry or wonder about the future. But I want to tell you, God's got your future, friend. And stop living in bondage to insecurity and fear. Just because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Just because you don't know what's going to happen next year. Listen, you and I need to repent. And get away from that mess because it puts us in a trap and it puts us in bondage. And we got to say, God, You got my future. I'm walking with You, Lord, and You're my God, and You're my God, and You've promised to take care of me, and I'm sick of living in fear and sick of living in insecurity. Even though things are going crazy around me, remember, get your eyes fixed on your relationship with Christ, not your circumstances. You will find great security, a supernatural security in that. God provides for our physical needs, but He also provides for our spiritual needs. You got to understand, God has promised that. Look at your verse there in 2 Peter. It's in your notes. He says here, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. He says, and of Jesus our Lord, according to His divine power, hath given unto us all things. You ought to underline that in your Bible. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That is the promise there to supply our spiritual needs. Now listen, whilst insecurity looks at what we don't have and wishes for more, God has already, He's said already that we have everything we need to fulfill His purpose. You don't need to be thinking about, well, if I just had that person's spiritual gift. Well, if I just had their background. Well, if I just had their family. If I just had their context. If I just had their time. If I just had their resources. And you and I could go all day long on naming stuff. Well, if I could just have this, then I think I would be successful spiritually. That's an insecurity, friend. Know by the Word of God that God has given you everything you need to fulfill His will. Your path may not look like mine. He may have you fulfill other things in life. We're all different. Remember, we're not an assembly line. We're all different. We're all so uniquely different. And we need to be encouraged by that. Insecurity says we might run short or run out. God says His supply is inexhaustible. We're not going to run out, friend. We're not going to run out. And if we do run out, God will still take care of us. Because He's promised to. Listen, no one has to go through life. No one has ever gone through life without feeling insecure. But you don't have to be in bondage to it. We naturally crave acceptance from others, but when we fear that that acceptance could be snatched from us, our sense of security also fades away. And if you feel your security and your life fading in and out, can I just say, just mark it, be human, be real, mark it down, that's insecurity in my life. And then you just need to get transparent with God and say, God, I am really struggling with insecurity. And I pray that You'd give me victory. I pray that You'd give me help. I pray that You'd lead me to overcome according to Your promises. You know what Leah did in closing? That's what she did. Notice with me there. Leah struggled with this insecurity for years. However, she overcame this sin. And it's beautiful. Look in Genesis there in your notes. Genesis 29:35. The Word of God says, and she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord? Quite different. Therefore, she called his name what? Judah. And left bearing. You say, what's so significant about that? Leah had no idea. It gives me chills thinking about it. Leah had no idea that her and her lineage would be the Messiah. The one who was not well favored. The one who was not beautiful to look on. The one who was just kind of treated pretty badly by her daddy, by her husband. She went through that. She couldn't find acceptance. But when she finally came to that time where she realized that she's just going to praise God. And she named that son Judah. And we see there in the Bible in Matthew 2:6, it's right there in your notes. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Wow. Listen, don't feel insecure. You have no idea what God's doing through your life. And you may look at somebody that from the circumstances, it looks like they're being more successful. But listen, stop doing that. That's comparing. That's competing. Just be faithful to what God is leading you to do and let Him do what He's doing beautifully. Because it will be. God had a big picture in mind that included her. What a beautiful picture of what He's wanting to do with me and you. We too, when we are caught up in cycles of insecurity, should remember that God does have a bigger purpose than we can see. Isn't that wonderful, church? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we are accepted in the Beloved tonight. Lord, I know that I have struggled with insecurity in my life as a believer. Lord, some of my deepest, darkest days, I believe, were a result of a deep-rooted sin of insecurity. I cared too much what people thought, what people were going to say. Oh, God, I pray that You'd deliver us from this. Lord, and that we would utter great praises unto Your holy name. No matter what the situation is, no matter the circumstances, no matter our failures, Lord, that we would get up and praise You. You have blessed us. You have given us everything we need. Everything we could dream of, because, Lord, what we truly deserve is eternity in hell tonight. But, Lord, we're thankful for Your mercy and Your grace, and I pray You'd be glorified in our lives. We do pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.